Morning Edition has been reporting this week on Russia's attempts to confront the tragedies of the 20th century. Today's final report is on the role of the Russian Orthodox Church. Over the past few years, the Church has reclaimed monasteries seized by the Bolsheviks. It also has canonized more than 1,000 priests and nuns killed for their beliefs during the Soviet era. But the Church seems reluctant to dwell on Soviet repression, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
You'd be forgiven if you missed the sign to the Butova testing range on a main road south of Moscow. It's hardly noticeable. Neither is the small cross, the kind people put up for road accident victims. There's no indication that this is an important historical site. In fact, it was never a testing range, but a killing field. In 1 year, from August 1937 to October 38, more than 20,000 people were executed here, their bodies dumped in a mass grave. And the killing would go on for years. In the early 1990s, former KGB officers finally acknowledged the gravesite, now an apple orchard. It never became a memorial park, though. Instead, the land was handed over to the Russian Orthodox Church. Father Kirill built this small wooden Church of the New Martyrs. He was drawn here for personal reasons, as he searched for information about his late grandfather, a newly canonized martyr.
After his arrest in 1937, our family was told simply he was sentenced to 10 years without the right to correspond. When those 10 years were up, my mother tried to find out what happened to him, but with no luck. Then, after Stalin died in the 50s, we were just told that my grandfather died in prison of kidney disease on December 21st, 1943. That was Stalin's birthday. That was their idea of a joke.
In fact, his grandfather was shot at Butova, as were many other priests. Father Kirill learned this only after the collapse of the Soviet Union, when ex-KGB officers made public some of the execution lists. Father Kirill encouraged the church to take over this property, and he brought in forensic experts to get a sense of the scale of the killings.
On February 28,
1938, 560 people were shot. That was the maximum for one day. The KGB said people were shot with pistols. I have my doubts, because a typical firing squad of 10 people couldn't possibly kill so many in a single night. They must have used both pistols and automatic rifles. That would explain why we didn't see bullet holes in all of the skulls.
Father Kirill is unusually political for a priest. He shakes his head in disbelief as he talks about how retired KGB officers who live in country houses nearby would picnic on the sites of mass graves. He hopes his church and the monument here will help relatives of the victims find inner peace. But other sites turned over to the church are losing all traces of their past. The Yekaterina Monastery, not far from Butova, is being rebuilt. The Soviets had turned the monastery into the notorious Sukhanovka prison. Lydia Golovkova has been writing a book about it.
When I first came here, you could really sense what had gone on here, and I pleaded with them to leave something for history's sake. There was a steep staircase right here leading underground to a tiny punishment cell, barely big enough for a prisoner to stand in. The monks had the walls broken down. When they lifted up the floor down there, they found a lair, a meter and a half deep, of ground-up human remains.
Golovkova says Sukhanovka was legendary. The head of Stalin's secret police at the height of the 1930s purges, Nikolai Yezhov, kept an office here, and it was here that he was arrested when he fell out of favor. An American who survived the gulag, Alexander Dolgun, wrote in his memoirs that there were beatings in Sukhanovka every day but Sunday. Golovkova says the secret police would use all methods of torture to break the prisoners.
Guards would take a long towel, put it around the prisoner's neck, and then tie it to his feet so he was bent over backwards. His mouth was also muzzled to stop him from screaming. After this type of torture, you were never human again.
Witnesses also say the main church in this monastery housed a small crematorium. A rare survivor of Sukhanovka is Semyon Vilinsky, who was a literature student at Moscow State University before he was arrested.
In 1948,
I was out with some friends in the woods reciting my latest poem. It went something like this: the intelligentsia must be stronger than steel. The secret agents are all around us, and the number one agent is Stalin. I guess because I called him the number one agent, I ended up first in Lubyanka, then Sukhanovka.
Vilinsky has spent recent decades gathering personal memoirs from Gulag survivors and publishing books for schoolchildren with the help of Western grants. He's angry that no one raised money to turn Sukhanovka into a museum and that it was given back to the church.
I thought it should be done as it's done in Europe, where such a huge number of people were wiped out, there should be a memorial.
The church won back other monastery prisons as well, but it's shown little interest in erecting monuments or museums to the victims of Soviet repression. Part of the problem is that the Russian Orthodox Church has an ambiguous history. While many priests and nuns lost their lives at the hands of the Soviet state, many also collaborated. Father Maxim is the secretary of the church's canonization commission. He steers clear of political judgments.
Imagine 50 years from now, who is going to remember what communism was or who Lenin was? But the church will remain with our new martyrs, just as we have our ancient martyrs. Do we really care now who killed St. George? The main thing is the man died for Christ.
The real work of digging up the past, then, is left to individuals and human rights groups. For now, the Russian public's interest in history is at a low point. When future generations want to learn about the 20th century, those with personal memory of the horrors will no longer be around, and the sites of some of the worst atrocities may not be marked. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News in Butova, south of Moscow.